Go ahead.
Okay, it is 10:30 a.m. on August 2nd, 2023, and the August meeting of the Arizona State Board of Suspension and Competitions is called to order. We'll do a roll call attendance. Dale Nyblade present. Suzanne Coleman.
Present.
Eileen Pettit.
Present.
Terry Brown.
Present.
Sherry Mays.
Present.
Seamus. Oh, wait a minute. That's all. That's all. Let's see. Deb and Michael are not going to be on the call. So we have a full house of who's available. Also present, we have Seamus Monahan, the AAG, on the call, and Megan Darian, our executive director. Declaration of conflicts of interest. I hear none. Review, discuss, and approval of the minutes from the June 7th board meeting.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to make a motion that we accept the telephonic board meeting minutes from our open session on June 7th, 2023, as written.
And I need someone besides Sherry to answer since she was not on the call.
This is Eileen Pettit, and I second it.
Thank you, Eileen. Appreciate that. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from June 7th meeting. Any discussion? Again, we'll do a roll call vote of those that were present at the meeting. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Okay, the minutes have been approved unanimously by those members that were present. We'll now move into agency operations. The first thing on the agenda is to review, discuss, and possible action to provide services for Dillon Sunglass Company and our licensed optician, Hussein Basari. At this time, I'd like to welcome Chris and Sam from Dillon so that we can see if there's any questions from the board.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Chris. Is Hassan on?
Hassan? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome, Hassan.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm Dale Nyblade. I'm the chairman of the board, and I appreciate you guys giving us all the information you have. Very thorough, very complete, and I think we're pretty much ready to rock and roll. The questions I have is the one issue that does come up is when you're doing it the way you guys are doing this operation, is the record retention is required by the state statutes. And that's the record retention of the license, or not the license, the prescription from the doctor. It's required to be kept with the date. It's written, the date of expiration in the doctor's hand. And I'd like to have you address how you guys are going to accomplish that part of the requirements of our statutes.
Sure thing. Let's say hypothetically, Sam is on board as our licensed optician and Sam is doing business from his store. He would retain all of the prescriptions and the original files generated for all sales. I would subsequently like to keep a copy, not so much of the prescription per se, but of the sales order that right. We would need for inventory. But that's about the extent of that.
Okay. That was the main question I had, just because it's hard when you're doing it the way you guys are to know where that's going to be kept. And you've answered that. Any board members have any other questions? Have you had a chance to review the information from Chris and Sam?
Yes, this is Eileen Pettit, and not only should, I think it's not only you should retain it, it should be retained separately from your own private business. So if there's if we ever need to look up something, we wouldn't have to go, like if it was Zillers, we wouldn't want to have to go into your personal records, your store records. So separation should be required.
Yes, so Sam, that would mean you have to keep it in a file under Dillon.
Of course, that's yes. Really it's going to be totally different, separate, yes.
Separate from your other files.
Correct. That's true.
Perfect. Thank you, Eileen. Very good point.
Sure.
Any other questions from any of the board members? I don't see any reason we have any further discussion. I think you guys are ready to go. I agree. I appreciate all the information you've provided. It sounds like you're going to be doing business as you should be doing, record retention, and you are working appropriately in the establishment licenses in Sam's name. So I think that retains the brick and mortar part of the establishment is being handled properly within our guidelines.
Thank you, Mr. Magley.
Welcome to doing business with the state of Arizona.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Is it Magley, your last name, sir?
Nyblade. Blade of a knife.
Okay. Nyblade. Okay, Nyblade. Yeah. Can I ask you one? This is Chris. Can I ask you one quick question, sir?
Yes, Chris.
So Sam will be the dispensing optician, but since he'll be doing business from his optical store, he would also therefore have the establishment license since he already has that. I guess let me rephrase. Does Dylan Optics need to apply for an establishment license in conjunction with Sam
being our license? You don't have a facility that would require it. You don't have an establishment per se. You don't have a brick and mortar. And the establishment license is for the brick and mortar location that is doing the dispensing, and Sam would qualify for that, is my understanding the way I read all the rules.
Okay, so two separate lines.
If you're just, Dylan is just doing the planos and all the prescription items are being done through Sam. That's who's required to have the establishment license.
But those records are being retained there, even if the records are retained there, because then it's at the physical brick and mortar store. And this is Eileen Pettit.
Yeah, the records are going to be at the brick and mortar, which currently has an establishment license. That's Sam's location.
But it's a different company. But it's a different company. That's what my
companies aren't. It's not the company that's required to have the establishment license. It's the establishment, which is a facility that dispenses. And Dylan's not doing any quote unquote dispensing. It's going to be handled by Sam.
The way our Sam retains both licenses.
That's clear enough.
Right, and if Sam's going to be handling it, he will retain the records in a separate file, but I don't think he needs to have two establishment licenses, is the way I look at everything, with it being a basically only one place that's going to be handling the quote-unquote dispensing and verification of prescription, et cetera, et cetera.
I kind of view it as like a vendor. He's a vendor.
Yeah, it's like anybody else that gets glasses from a fabricating plant, per se. And he's the one that's handling the dispensing, so he's the one that has the requirement to keep the items necessary by the state statutes and rules.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Chris and Sam, thank you for being on the call. Appreciate your proactive work on getting your information to us in a timely manner. We'll move
Thank
on
you.
To, yes, take care. We'll move on to the rest of the director's report. Megan?
Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day.
Is it a motion to do to this?
There's no motion necessary because it's only a review and discussion. We're not doing any other action.
Okay.
They're doing the actions. We're not. The board doesn't have to do anything.
Sure.
My understanding, unless Seamus thinks there's something else that we need to have a motion, I'm sure we can handle that. But I don't see anything that's motionable.
Chair, board members, this is AG Seamus Monahan. I agree. I don't think you need to take any action here.
Thank you, Seamus. Appreciate your input. Yeah, I think it was a matter of just clarification of how this is going to be provided. and it's being provided basically under Mr. Basari's establishment as far as the parts that pertain to our board. Any other questions or concern? Okay, so let's move on to the director's report.
A renewal establishment of 2023 finalized with 423 establishments and 98% completion. So we lost 10 establishments due to basically retirement, majority of. And the second one, a new e-licensing database migration still will start at the end of today with the final launch date of August 17th. During the process, the current system will be down. Communication as such has taken place on the website as we speak.
So that gives us, what, two months before renewals are open to be done, and hopefully we'll have all the bugs worked out of it by then?
Hopefully, yes.
For October's renewals?
That's my finger, yes.
Okay. We remember when e-licensing first rolled out. So.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll
all
work.
Can you repeat that? Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is Suzanne Coleman. Can you repeat the date of the final launch?
Final launch is going to be August 17th.
Thank you.
Yes. And 14, 15, and 16, I worked very hard to compare the databases between old e-licensing and new one. And then hopefully everything is fine. So I give them the thumbs up to open the database for public.
Perfect.
And then you will notify all licensees when that transition does occur?
Yes, definitely, because they have to go there and not necessarily create an application. The beauty of it, they go there and reset their password. And
right.
Then get to the new system. Looks a little bit different, but is very, very advanced, much better than old e-licensing. I would like to call it old e-licensing and new one, because for the public, still is e-licensing, nothing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Glad to hear that. Okay, let's move on to 5K. This is a carryover from our June meeting. Update on the no license opticians at Nationwide Vision on Bell Road. I'm happy to report that they have a licensee in place and have renewed in time their establishment license. So there is no violation, no possible action we need to say. The only thing we need to do is, if I could entertain a motion to dismiss this open review, now that they are in compliance at that location.
Hey, this is Suzanne Coleman. I'd like to make a motion that we, how do you say?
Dismiss
this initial case review, as they do have a licensed optician now at this location of Nationwide Vision.
Thank you.
And this is Carrie.
Oh. Yep.
This is Sherry Mays, and I'd like to second that motion.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to dismiss this investigation into Nationwide Vision on Bell Road. Any discussion? Take a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Thank you all. It's been unanimously approved to dismiss this open case and remove it from the agenda. It's now done. Let's go to number 6, applications for licensure, 6A, licensed optician.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the following applicants for licensed optician: Amanda Jean Sanchez and Raina Mercedes Mayer.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I would like to second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to accept these applications for licensed optician. Any discussion? Go to a roll call vote. Gail Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman.
Aye.
Sherry Mays.
Aye.
Eileen Pettit.
Aye.
Terry Brown.
Aye.
Congratulations to the two newly licensed opticians in the state of Arizona. Welcome. Move on to 6B, application for optical establishment.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept the following application for optical establishment from ECP Ophthalmology Services in Sun City, Sun City.
Hi, everyone. This is Bill Hoffman from the Polsinelli Law Firm. We actually represent ECP Ophthalmology here. Can we actually bring up a point concerning this application?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, great. So we spoke to our client on this, and I think we believe that this application was filed in error. So similar to what was discussed in the May meeting with respect to Arizona Optometry Partners, ECP Ophthalmology Services LLC is actually a non-clinical legal entity that does back office services, and that all dispensing and billing third-party vision insurance plans are actually performed through a legal entity called Emilio Martin Usto, MD-PC. And, you know, as discussed in May, our understanding was that if an Arizona professional corporation is formed for the purposes of allowing physicians or optometrists to practice their profession through a legal entity, and that the PC is compliant with the requirements of the Arizona Medical Act or the Arizona Optometry Act, that those legal entities are exempt from the obligation to comply with this statute, including to obtain an OEL. So we just wanted to raise it to the board's attention to confirm that we had the correct understanding, and that if that is indeed correct, to request to surrender or to relinquish this application.
Okay, is their dispensing being done in a physical location to the consumers?
All dispensing is being done at a brick and mortar centralized location to consumers, but the dispensing is all being done through a professional corporation and not through ECP Ophthalmology Services LLC.
So that professional corporation is the one that would be required to have the optical establishment license. The place that is dealing with the consumer with the finished product would be the ones that have to deal with the optical establishment license.
So I agree with that conceptually, but, you know, per our discussion during the May meeting, our understanding was that if the entity is a professional corporation, which it is in this context, that the entity would be exempt from that statutory framework.
It was never definitively answered in that. It was discussed, it was resolved in a certain situation that was acceptable. But it was a situation that is not necessarily involved to here. It sounds like the dispensing is being done, and that's who we deal with, is whoever's touching the citizens of the state, dealing with the eyewear, dealing with the record retention, dealing with the issues that are required by our rules and our statutes. And if it's a brick and mortar that's handling it, the consumer, they would, I think, fall under our definition of an optical establishment.
Well, so let me clarify. If there is a professional corporation that is owned by or has ownership by an ophthalmologist or an optometrist that has an Arizona license, if that legal entity dispenses glasses, does that legal entity need to apply for an OEL?
If it's an independently owned, not a corporation that's in our definitions of what is an optical establishment, if you, I got to pull out my rules again. Optical attachments, physical location, dispense eyewear to the intended wearer and written prescription from a physician licensed. Person means a natural person. Supervision means direction and control through inspection and evaluation of work by consultation or instruction as needed, provided that at least one dispensing optician works at each optical establishment on a full-time basis. That's the issue that was a little milky in our May discussion, different issue, different company. Basically, the way the definition is written, and again, we have contrarying opinions that we've been given advice over the years, but in our establishment, that's the one time we have agreed that they were working in a unique situation, but it doesn't change our basic stand as a board on what we've done over the course of the last, well, I think it was in 1980 was the first time it brought up where we required establishment license. The exemption is designed for a doctor who has his own practice with a dispensary. And the it's a gray area, and we still have not got definitive, but we have to stay with what we've done in the past and, you know, go back as far as we can and try to be consistent to be able to make sure that the board is doing our job is to protect the consumers and the citizens of the state of Arizona. And the way we do that is we monitor these locations, these establishments. We require a certain level of expertise, which is our requirement for the licensed dispensing optician, to verify that the consumers are indeed being protected. That's our mission, and that's our rule as a guideline, as a board, to oversee, and that's to protect our citizenship. And there's a lot of issues here going on as far as the different entities involved. But I think as far as, you know, our current board standing, we're still using the definition of an optical establishment. And that is the brick and mortar where glasses are being dispensed to consumers. And there's still a question of how supervised they can be by someone who's not there physically to supervise the oversee the work that's being done. That's the reason we require a licensed optician, because we have someone to hold accountable. And I don't think the doctors want to be held accountable for the optical, the glasses part. They're involved in the medical care as they should be, in the prescribing care. So I think even though there has been an issue that's occurred one time in the board's history, we've got 20 others that have been supported by our statutes.
So I don't want to conflate the issue we discussed in the May meeting versus the current meeting.
That's not been the agenda today. The agenda today is about ECP. What we did in May is a different company. And the way this sounds, it sounds like they are a dispensary that dispenses to the public. I don't think it's a closed captioned audience. I don't think it's only their own prescriptions. I think someone can walk in off the street in these locations and purchase eyewear. And that's our concern as a board.
Dale, can I ask a clarifying question? This is Terry.
Sure.
So, is the doctors, whoever owns the doctor's office, obviously it's an optometrist, are they operating inside the same building as the dispensary? Yes or no?
My understanding is yes.
Okay.
I would need to,
and then,
I would just, all right, hold on a second, just to be clear, I need to confirm that, but my understanding is that Dr. Usto's practice operates as any independent optometry practice that has a frame board operates, correct?
Okay, so the doctor is operating inside the brick and mortar location, So the next, my second question is, who actually owns the brick and mortar location that is dispensing the eyewear? What company?
When you say own, what does that mean? Like who actually owns the building?
Well, I mean, who owns the dispensary?
The location, the rent. Who's paying the rent on the dispensary?
So I'm not actually entirely sure, but I think I would throw that back at you and say, why would that matter? Because an independent optometrist.
Yeah, it does matter.
Could.
Let me answer. So Arizona is a two-door state. The independent, that's why it's called independent. That's the key word. Independent optometrist works independently of the corporation that owns the dispensary. And you can, and it's, you know, basically, let me just say this. I work for a private corporation optometrist as a vice president. We operate inside of a corporation, and the corporation cannot dictate to the medical establishment how to operate, how to see patients, what to do, because they don't have the medical background to do such. So the dispensary is required by Arizona law to have an OEL with licensed dispensing optician, because they are not the same company as the medical or the clinical team or the optometrist team. They're separate entities. So it does matter who owns the dispensary, because that is the person who's reliable, who is responsible for the dispensing of the eyewear and anything that happens to the finished product. So I think at this point, Del, you know, I don't know where you're at, but I think that this needs to be either dropped at this point, and you need to be able to provide us with the correct information and bring this up at another board meeting. Thanks.
Well, yeah, and I'm happy to do that. And perhaps prior to the next meeting, we'll work with Seamus or the applicable AG to ensure that we have provided you all the facts. I mean, my understanding is that when AOP had a similar issue at the May meeting, they provided you the appropriate documentation, which we can too. But to be super clear on one point, because I think this is important, it is very clear contractually and practically that at all times, the optometrist owner of the practice entity maintains the entirety of control over the dispensing operations of the practice. In the same way that I assume AOP operates is the exact way that this is structured.
Unfortunately, just because they're in the same building does not mean that they're actually overseeing it. If the owner, whoever owns the lease and the dispensary, is a separate entity from the optometry clinic itself, the optometrist is not responsible for the dispensary legally, not in any way, shape, or form, and not under our optometry laws. Not only just optometry, but as well as our dispensing laws. They can't be. Just because they're in the same building, we can't just generally say, oh, the doctor's in charge of this other company. That's not how it works, unfortunately. So we need to know who owns the dispensary. What does the corporation look like? You know, how is it built? Is it a corporation? Is it an LLC? What is it? Who owns it? And does the people who own the dispensary, do they have an optometry license? Yes or no? That's as simple as it gets. So
yeah, and I agree that it's that simple. But like, again, happy to kick this to another meeting. But I just want to be very clear on this. This is not a situation where you have like a Walmart or a Provision, for example, that owns a dispensary and just leases those operations to this practice. Instead, at all times,
Let me stop you now on this. I understand what you're saying. We're not here to discuss that today. The issue that we have is in Arizona, it is a two-door state, and if there's a doctor on premise, you are required to have signage that says independent doctor of optometry or ophthalmology adjacent to whatever the optical shop is. That's required for these because of our two-door law. This is not a change. This is something that's been on for a long time. And one of the key things is in all locations that have a doctor on site, there's a requirement that the dispensary has to say there is an independent doctor of optometry next door.
That is a mischaracterization of what this arrangement is. This is you are characterizing with all due respect as a dispensary operation that operates completely independently, and that is not the case. This is a dispensary that operates entirely under the name and the control of a PC.
That's time for another discussion. That's not something that fits here. If they want to withdraw their application, we will take it off the agenda. If they want to continue with their application, they can get their establishment license, and we won't have any further discussions. Otherwise,
our plan is to continue. Yeah, and I promise my last point, our goal is to work with the board to ensure that we are doing this correctly. There is no intent to violate any law, but our understanding based upon the May meeting was that the structure that we described was compliant. And if you all do not agree with that, then we need to work with the AG assigned to this matter and the board to ensure that we are indeed operating correctly. It's very important to us.
Yeah, I think we need to know who owns the dispensary. And until we have that information, we can't go any further.
The answer is the professional corporation owns the dispensary, full stop.
We need to see that in writing.
Yeah, and who owns
happy the to provide it.
Corporation? Yeah, and who owns the professional
happy
corporation?
Happy to provide it.
And yeah, who has what percent of ownership is involved with each individual? Individual.
Happy
now, this
to
is only
it.
One location. This is only one location as far as I can see, right?
I believe,
this is just one location. So it would be who has the ownership of that location and what percentage of it.
Mr. Chair?
AOP was different. It had a documentation of 100% ownership by one individual.
Mr. Chair, may I talk? This is Megan Dorian. Actually, this organization has one LOE. That was the establishment got a license back in June 30th, 2022. It is called Sun City West. According to the letter that I received and is going to be presented to the board from Ms. Holly Johnson, they have two other locations. One of them is Sun City. This one that they had the application, and they are open a few hours, but they do dispense it. They have another location in Wickenburg, which is Dr. Need Basis. So it's not only one location of this application. They have three locations.
It's like all our other LLCs and PCs that we have across the state that have multiple locations, and each brick and mortar has an optical establishment license.
Yes, but Wickenburg is only doctor need basis. They are open a few hours, according to this letter, that they don't dispense anything. But Sun City.
Right. We don't have that information at this time. So that's something the board would have to be provided with so we can peruse it and possibly, again, with you and the AAG working with the ECP group, we can move forward with this. But right now, the board can't say anything about this per se other than going back to our rules, our regs, our statutes, our dual doors requirements in the state of Arizona, which is different than other states. The other thing we need to do is verify that whoever's representing this group is also Arizona licensed attorney.
Well, okay, so we've worked with the Arizona bar on this, and they confirmed that because this is not an actual hearing, that an Arizona licensed attorney is not actually necessary. but if that's important to you, I can enter Pro Hoc Vice, which will, you know, make that okay. Well, I think the second point is, go ahead.
If we're talking to an attorney that is not Arizona licensed, they can't speak to our Arizona laws. So anyway,
okay.
If they're going to withdraw this application, it will be removed from the agenda and it'll be something for future discussion. They want to proceed with this establishment license to go forward. We can go ahead and, move forward on approving this establishment license, then you're all in compliance. We can save ourselves a lot of time and effort. And that's right, where we stand right now. This is what's on the agenda is an application for establishment license. And that's all we're going to discuss right now because that's the only thing on our agenda. So if they're saying that they want to withdraw it, then that's where we go. Otherwise, we will move forward with our agenda.
Okay, and I completely understand that, and I look forward to working with Seamus and the board to provide the required documents to demonstrate compliance, and we'll move forward. Thank you.
Okay, are we moving forward with this application?
I believe we're moving it to the next meeting, correct?
That would be preferred.
There's a motion on the floor.
So, did someone want to rescind their motion?
Seamus, what do you think? I don't think the motion's on the floor. I think we either deal with it or we don't.
This is AG Seamus. So it sounds like, you know, and they have every right to withdraw. They're asking to continue this to the next meeting and to provide the documentation you're asking. So given that, it would not be appropriate for the board to rule on this application today. So you can just take no action and move it to the next meeting.
Okay, Susie, you want to?
Okay, this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to rescind my previous motion of acceptance of the application for optical establishment from ECP Ophthalmology Services Sun City.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I'll second that.
Okay, moved and seconded to rescind this application and push the...
Well, I would not say rescind. I would just say put it on hold, please. Sorry, just be clear.
Move it to a future agenda item for the September meeting.
Okay, just to Suzanne Coleman, and I would like to... change my previous motion to say we're going to continue this discussion on our next board meeting agenda.
And this is Sherry Mays, and I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to move 6B agenda item to future meeting in September, on September 6th, in which time, Megan, if you would, get with these people and get the required information we need from them so the board has an opportunity to peruse it. Any more discussion? Do a roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Grubb?
Aye.
Okay, we are moving the agenda item 6B to next month's meeting. Future meeting dates, first Wednesdays of the next 4 months. Again, the future agenda item will be 6B. And call to the public. Okay, it is 11:09 a.m. on August 2nd, and this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you all.